Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Awesome. I'm going to start at the end. I like just giving away what I'm going to say, but as we were worshiping, I just felt that God laying the scripture on my heart that says, "For God has said, let there be light in the darkness." Now, this is one of the first things we teach the kids at Children's Church, is God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So God spoke, there was only darkness. God spoke, and His word formed light. And then it says here in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 4 that it says, "Let there be light, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness has made His light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." And I just felt, as we're speaking God's word this morning, it's like a light shining. And He's saying His light has shone into our hearts. There's this light inside of us, and our bodies are like clay jars. But this light is so huge that it's so obviously so different to the clay jars. It's so different. This light, this powerful light emanating from us is so different that it's so obvious that it's only God. So that's really my message today, and I'm going to work my way backwards. But I believe that as I speak and as God's word goes out, His light is actually going to bring light in our darkness of our understanding. And as that light enters our understanding, it's going to set us free and help us to emanate that light that God has placed inside of us. Okay, so Andres is in Malawi at the moment, and he's preaching there with Alwyn's this morning, and he met with their leaders yesterday, and he's very excited about what is happening, and they're making a lot of out-of-the-box plans, which is what Andres loves. And yeah, so God is doing something amazing in Malawi, and we're all very excited and keep praying for Alwyn's and for Jackie as they are pastoring the church there. Okay, let's start with Rivers of Living Water. My sermon this morning, and I made especially like I used the Awaken slide set because I think we need some femininity on the stage. So I've gone all out. So for the girls, I've made you a special slideshow that you can enjoy. We like visual stuff. Then, okay, I'm going to start with John 7 from verse 37. "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So the setting here, it says that on the greatest day of the festival, they were at the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was a custom for everybody to go up to Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus also went. And then every day of this festival, they would get water from the well of Siloam. So it's like the stream that flows down. It's a long story, but they would draw water, and then there would be this water pouring ceremony where they would actually pour out this water. And for the Jewish people, during the Feast of Tabernacles, they would actually dwell. They would build a little tent. And it would remind them of the time when they left Egypt and traveled in the desert and their dependence on God to actually go through the desert and into their promised land. And then on the last day, they would pour this water. And the water symbolized for them the Holy Spirit that was still going to come. So they were looking back at the past, and they were looking forward at a day when the Holy Spirit will be poured out. Now, in the Old Testament, we know that the Holy Spirit was poured out on individuals. And at certain times, people would operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And they then got I'll read you the passages. But Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." So what is the scripture saying? What were they, when they were pouring out that water, what were going through their minds? What were they referencing? It says, "For I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's. And then in Isaiah 55:1, it says, come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. And as they were pouring this water, they were referencing Isaiah 12:3 that says, therefore with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. So they were referencing this thing of water being poured out. There's going to be a time when there's this living water that will be poured out. And then Jesus, on this day that they're pouring out this water, Jesus is standing there saying, I am he. I am the one that you must come to. And I'm the one who will give you living water. And then he qualifies it and says, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So Jesus says, I am the rock. I am the one, like the rock that was in the desert and the rock that brought them water. I am the one who is your river of living water. And as I poured this water, he said, that living water is actually going to be in you. Okay, so that living water, that Holy Spirit, is actually going to be in you. And it's going to be a river of living water that doesn't run dry. So we're seeing here that there was a prophetic thing that there was a reference that they were reminded of yearly. They always had to celebrate this festival to remind them of something that was still going to happen in the future. So in this side, we have the Old Testament. In this side, we know that there's a prophetic word that in the future, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit and there's going to be rivers of living water. And then we've got Jesus in the middle saying, I am he. I am the one who've brought the rivers of living water. And when the Holy Spirit is poured out, that living water, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Within them, not within Jesus, the rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where the rivers of living water is flowing. So where do we, you and me, find ourselves today in this narrative? Are we constantly going, God, give me a cup of water. God, I'm thirsty. Lord, I need to go to God. I need to go to Jesus and get water. And Lord, one day I'll have enough water. Or are we in the New Testament where the rivers of living water has been poured out into us? That there's rivers of living water flowing from out of us. That is where we're finding ourselves. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, there is rivers of living water flowing from you right now. It's not something that you still have to get. It's not something that's still coming. And it's not something that you need to strive for. Right now, where you are sitting, you have rivers of living water flowing from you. And Jesus also said that to the woman at the well, if you remember. Remember, this woman was at the well, and she was drawing water, and Jesus was sitting there, and he said, you know, give me some of your water. And I'm just going to read this, John 4:10. Jesus replied, If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And then she said, how can you give me water? You don't even have a bucket. Like, there's a well. How are you going to get the water? Why do you want to give me water? And Jesus replied to her, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, because he was talking about the water she was drawing. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Okay. Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Are you thirsty? Those who drink his water will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So where are we finding ourselves today? We're finding ourselves in the truth that there is a living water inside of us, or are we still expecting water to come? I want to focus now, just slightly change a different focus on Ephesians 3, which is really what I feel God is saying to us today. It's a quite complicated little scripture, and I shared this with the women at the women's weekend as well. and I'll break it down for us in a way that we can easily understand. But Ephesians 3 verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. So this is Paul praying, and he was actually praying. This is a prayer that he was praying. And if you look at the book of Ephesians, he was praying. He was after this chapter, chapter 3, it actually starts telling us how to be good wives, how to be parents, how to be slaves to our masters. So there's all these rules and ways of living. But before he goes on to explaining to us how we should live as Christians, he stops here and he says, God, may they get this. May they really get this revelation. Because if you don't get this, your Christian life will always be from the outside in and not from the inside out. And he's praying this. And because he's praying this, I know it's the truth and we can pray for ourselves. And it means it's a reality. What is he saying? He's saying that God, strengthen them by your spirit. Strengthen their inner man by your spirit. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That us being rooted in Christ may get how much God loves us. Okay. So I said, God, how can I explain this? How can I make this make sense? So this morning, so God showed me this infuser. This morning, this water was, I just poured just pure water in here. And in the middle, there's strawberries. So it's almost strawberry season. So you'll see like lots of great, yummy, very nice tasting strawberries at the moment. And this is a water infuser. So God said to me, it's like this. Our core, our inner being, me and you, right in our core, right here in the center, when we get born again, Christ comes and lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit comes and infiltrates our spirit. Okay, so right in our core is our spirit. Okay, so that's the core right there. Around our spirit, so just imagine the water is our soul. Okay, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay, so this is like our mind and how we think and how we operate. So that's our soul, okay? That's the water. And the bottle is our body. And then what must come from this, if we pour this out, okay? Okay, it will be strawberry, in this case, flavored water. Okay, so the strawberry in this case, I've cut strawberries and put it right in the center. Our strawberries, okay, this strawberries, is Jesus, okay? So it's just a simplified version. Obviously, don't, you know, I overcomplicate things, but anyway. The strawberry, so when we get born again, God, the fullness of God, the life of God, comes and resides inside of us, okay? The fullness, not like a little bit of him. He comes and he resides in us. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and that's the strawberry. Our soul then must get infused with strawberry. Okay, our soul gets infused with his life so that what comes out of us tastes and looks and smells like Jesus. Okay, does it make sense? Okay. I think it's cool too. So we are in Christ, but Christ is inside of us. Okay? So the Christian life is not a life from the outside in, but from the inside out. And if we get this wrong, we're always going to be slaves. Because then whenever we hear a message, or whenever we feel God is telling us something, it feels like we have to please God. You know, we have to do this and this and this, and we have to measure up to something, or we have to change our behavior to make God happy with us or to draw close to him. He's saying, I'm already inside of you. All you have to do is just let it infuse you, okay? So, and then it will just flow out of you. So the water in this case is not really doing much, if we allow him, his life inside of us will just start going into our mind, our will, and our emotions, and what comes out of us will be life. Okay. Okay, but how do we access this life? It actually tells us this, which is really awesome again. Ephesians 3, let's go back to this. So he says, okay, like, God strengthen them that you can dwell inside of them and that they may get this. How do we get this? This is really interesting. How do we get this? By experiencing God's love. That's how we get it. Like, how do we get this life? How does this life start like flowing through us? Is when we experience God's love. Okay, so that's what it says here, okay? That may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Okay, does it make sense? So he says you are being rooted in God's love. So what does a plant do? Its roots go down deep, and then the water that comes in is God's love. And he says, we have to realize that we only have like a small understanding of God's love. You know, we have certain dimensions. All of us, it says how long, it's always so interesting to me, it says how long and high and deep and wide. So long is like one dimensional. And then long and high is two dimensional. And long and high and deep is three dimensional. And then it says long and high and deep and wide. So it's like four dimensions. Okay, so I just feel this morning we must just like, God, just open our minds. Just open our hearts so that we can just like get more of your love. Because what we know of God's love and what we experience of his love is only one or two or three dimensions. But God wants to give us greater dimensions. And it's not out there somewhere, you know, like, God loves me, Jesus, this I know. He says, I want you to experience my love. I want to read this in the Amplified. Be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. So God's saying it's not something that's in your mind. It's not something that I just want you to believe and wake up in the morning, God loves me. He says, like Anri said, God wants us to feel it. You know, that's Anri's testimony. You know, God wants to bless me and he wants me to experience it. Okay, so when I read this like years ago, I said, Lord, help me to experience your love. Help me to see it. Because I think God is like blessing us all the time. God is blessing us all the time. And I'll get to that now. Just thankfulness that opens our eyes to see it. But what is the love of God? And I just want to go to Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. It's almost like for me, like a mother, like loving kindness. God is so kind towards us. Zephaniah 3:17. For the love, the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That's amazing, eh? For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you. God will take delight in you with gladness. Do you realize that you make him glad? Do you realize like he looks at you and he's going, oh, she's so cool. He's so cool, you know. He will calm all your fears with his love, because perfect love casts out fear. He will calm all your fears and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. And so like God is not only like, he's like, she's cool, you know. He's amazing. He loves you. He's not like, I love you. He's really loving you. And he doesn't want you to just know it. He says, I want it to go beyond knowing it. I want you to feel my love. I want you to experience my love. I want you to know it because it's real to you. Romans 5 verse 5 says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So his love is in us already. But what does love look like? And Missy Edwards used to sing the song, what does love look like? It's the question I've been pondering. Okay, so it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So if Christ, if God is living inside of us, we know God is love. Okay, so what is this love that we're experiencing? God is patient. Okay, love is patient. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects. He always trusts us. He always hopes. He always perseveres. God never fails. But there's even now cooler than that. That God is inside of us and his love is in us. What's flowing into us and what's coming out of us? I want you to say this with me. Is it up there? Okay. Say this with me. Put your name where love is. Okay. So Lisa is patient. We're going to read it all together. 1, 2, 3. Put your own name there. Manny is patient. Lisa is patient. Lisa is kind. Lisa does not envy. Lisa does not boast. Lisa is not proud. Lisa does not dishonor others. Lisa is not self-seeking. Lisa is not easily angered. Lisa keeps no record of wrongs. Lisa does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. She always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Lisa never fails. Okay, so that's the truth of God living inside of us and that becoming a reality in us. Now, I said earlier, how do we experience love? I think, like, God is showing his love to us all the time. We just miss it often. So I read this book called 1,000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp. And it was this woman who's homeschooling in somewhere in America. And, you know, they were living on a farm. And just not much exciting about that. And, well, obviously for her, so not for me. Anyway, but it was just becoming odd. I think she's got like 8 or 10 kids or something like that. But anyway, and then God started challenging her to start writing down 1,000 things that she's thankful for. Okay, it's a really difficult read. It's very poetic. But anyway, it just challenged me so much to just start seeing God in the smallest things. It's not always the big things. Like she would be washing her dishes, and the bubbles, you know, they sometimes look like little rainbows. You know, they sometimes have all these like sparkly colors. And she's like, thank you for the bubbles, you know. And she was just like started seeing beauty and God. And then she started seeing how God shows himself to her all the time. And I think thankfulness starts opening our eyes to God blessing us. And then we're experiencing it more. So I want to challenge you, one of the ways to experience God's love, it's just to be thankful. Just say, God, thank you. Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see. Like, just this weekend, we've got an Airbnb. And I have this sort of auto setting sometimes on that people can just book any time. But it's been winter and there hasn't been a lot of bookings. So I just kind of a little bit forgot about it. And I usually don't have guests when Andres isn't there. It's just not nice for me to have people around, you know, in our house, sort of, when he's not there. But then I got this booking, a last-minute booking, and it's an auto-setting, so I couldn't change it. I was like, oh, no, you know, like, what am I going to do? Is Buizwe here? Are you here, Buizwe? I think she's here. Where are you? Yeah, there you are. So it was amazing. So she is actually a spirit-filled Christian and ordained pastor. So God sent me somebody who is like this awesome person to come and live in our Airbnb this weekend. And it's just like, oh, just be thankful, you know, like God is so good that even in the small things, even when I was like, I would be afraid if there were people that are, you know, that like foreigners or something. But he just, even knowing that he Anish wasn't going to be there. He blessed me. He blessed me with this amazing person. And her daughter is in Shofar and Stellenbosch. And it's just all cool. But in the smallest things, God is blessing us. And we must just open our eyes. And thankfulness helps us to see it. Thankfulness helps us to experience God's love. How do we know we're not experiencing God's love to the fullest? Is that when we have fear. Because it says perfect love casts out fear. Okay, so just bring that to God. Bring it to him and let him fill you with his love. And then the last part of Ephesians 3 verse 9 says that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Okay, so this is a prayer, which means this is what God wants for us, that he actually wants to fill us to the fullest. He wants to have us to have the richest experience of his presence in our lives. Now, what is the goal of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Do any of you just think? What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think, why do I have the Holy Spirit in my life? Okay? Often we think it's for gifts and for, you know, we need to grow in these things. But God says in Romans 8, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And then Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So the goal of the Holy Spirit, if we just make it very clear, is that the strawberry there becomes a strawberry there, becomes a strawberry that is being poured out. Okay, the goal of the Holy Spirit in our life is to make sure that the life of God, which is inside of us, permeates every area of our life until we start looking like Jesus. Okay, let's simplify it. Makes it very clear. Okay, how does he do this? John 15 verse 4 says, and I love this whole John 15, but I can't read all of it because we're going to run out of time. But it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And what is the result? What is the fruit? So you can remember the strawberries, okay? What does the strawberry look like? It's fruit, okay? Fruit must come out of us. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Okay, so the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is transforming us and making us look like Christ. And the outflow of that, the strawberry water outflow of this, what we see is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Okay, who produces the fruit? Us. The Holy Spirit produces. Who's in us? The Holy Spirit in us is producing the fruit in us, going out of us, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I know if I say all of them like that, it's just like a whole mouthful of stuff. But if you can just break it down, and all of this intermingles, but just to break it down a little bit, love, joy, and peace is our relationship with God, okay? It obviously flows into all of them. But just in our relationship with God, our normal being, my and your normal state, should be love, joy, and peace. Okay, that should be normal for a Christian, to have constant love, joy, and peace in our relationship with God and in our lives, okay? The second three are patience, kindness, goodness. This is kind of relates to our relationship with people. So when I'm like at the till and somebody's like taking too long, I'm like, am I displaying patience, kindness, and goodness? Okay, so just think, am I, when I'm interacting with people around me, am I displaying patience, kindness, and goodness? And then the last three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is almost like our relationship with ourselves, okay? So in ourselves, are we displaying faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And often we get frustrated because God has got these plans for our lives and these things that we need, think we should do, He's not really so much interested in all the things that we're going to do, because it's going to be an outflow of who we are. Okay, those things are just going to come. But he's at working in our fruit. Okay, so as we're abiding in him, that fruit is growing. And I was thinking, like, am I growing? Not am I growing because I'm having to grow, but if I look back in the last 3 years, cool, Lord, I have actually grown. I've grown in my love for people. You know, have I grown in patience and kindness and gentleness? That's how we measure growth. Like, is the fruit growing and is it becoming more in our lives? And I'm not saying you have to do something. I'm just saying that is what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. He's making his fruit grow. And that's for God's glory. He wants all of us to have a lot of fruit. Okay, I'm going to skip a few bits. There's one part that I just felt. Remember earlier when I said that sometimes we still approach God like we have this little cistern, like, God, fill me up. God, give me enough for today. God, you know. And the scripture that was brought to mind was Jeremiah 2, verse 13. It says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And so sometimes we start finding water in places that is not the living water. So there are areas in our lives that we sometimes go to when we're frustrated, when we're stressed, when we're having a hard day. Our phones, reading, texting, waiting for somebody to text us, phones. Phones are a problem. I've taken all the apps off my phone, most of the apps. Because it's so easy to, when we're frustrated or when we're kind of wanting to just take a break, to read something or to text somebody or to see what's going on in the news or to go and watch TV or to read books. For some people, it's reading books. Or some of us find it in alcohol. Some of us find it in smoking. You know, there are other wells that we're going to fill up that emptiness. And God is saying, like, don't go to the broken. You've dug your own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And we know that. We know that money and power and influence in the world isn't going to satisfy, you know. And what do we do when we sit here and we go, okay, yes, I have dug cisterns. What is repentance? Repentance is going, ah, I see it now. Okay, yes, God, I haven't been living from the living water that's inside of me. I have been trying to dig other wells. Repentance is going, oh, God, I see it. I'm sorry about it, and I change, and I go on. Okay, so repentance isn't going, oh, you know, I'm such a terrible person. Repentance is going, seeing the truth, and the truth sets us free. It's going, God, I don't need those cisterns. I don't need those broken vessels. I don't need other things to fill me, because the living water is inside of me. And it's like seeing it, like I said earlier, like the light comes on and we're set free. Okay, so that is what repentance is. Repentance is like, sorry, God, oh, sorry for doing this. I realize it's like, it's a fake. It's not the real thing, you know. Sorry, God, I want the real thing. I only want the real thing. And that is repentance. I want to put up one of the things that I felt that I've been... We were growing a lot as a church. We were really trusting God for a while to, or still are, or obviously always, to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to really pray for people and to seeing people get healed. And I get frustrated when I see things in the Bible and we're not seeing people getting out of wheelchairs. I hate it when there's people in this church that are in wheelchairs. I'm like, oh, God, if the truth is in the Word and we're not seeing it right now, and I want us to see it. So that's our heart, Lord. Lord, this is the truth. We should be praying for people and they should be getting healed, you know. So we've been really, as a church, trusting God. And it was so interesting, as we were praying for people one Sunday, there was a couple here for the first time, and I was praying for them for a sickness. And usually I'm like, okay, God, thank you for, by your stripes we are healed. And I'm like trying to think of all the scriptures I need to use now, you know, because it's actually scary, the sickness that this person has. And as I was standing there and just praying for them, I just felt God saying, get out of the way. Like, just get out of the way, you know? And like, so mentally, I was like standing praying for this person. And it was just like, I was just getting out of the way so that God can touch the person. Okay, so that's really what he wants us to just kind of get out of the way so that that life can flow. And then we know that that life that flows is from God and not from us. Like literally, if you pray for somebody to get healed, you don't have to use a lot of scriptures. You can just say, God, I pray that you heal this person in Jesus' name. It's not us. It's him just like flowing through us, and we just have to get out of the way. And I love what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity. I put it off. The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let him take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. Because our true selves is him in us. Our true selves is Jesus inside of us. So we must just get our soul out of the way so that he can just flow through us. So evangelism, I get really frustrated when people say we have to go and tell people about Jesus. And I'm like, oh, how many people have I got saved? I'm not sure. Oh, have I got anybody saved this year? And then I get all, you know, I get all condemned about it. But the reality is, I'm really a natural evangelist because I tell people everywhere about him. Like, I literally can't sit at a hairdresser and, like, not tell her about something that God has done. Because what if it's the last time I see her? Like, what if she never hears about God's goodness? And it's not like I try to get people saved. Like, I always have a testimony of something that God has done. Or they ask me what my husband does, which is easy because then I say he's a pastor and they're like, what? And then I'm like, oh, you know how awesome God is. But that's just natural. It's an outflow. It's not something that you have to do. It's something that flows from you. Okay. So the love and joy and peace should be normal. And thankfulness helps us to see it. Thankfulness helps us to see God's love, to see his joy, and to experience it so that it becomes a natural outflow. So just in conclusion, there were these Old Testament prophecies. Jesus came to fulfill it, and we're living in the present reality of Christ in us, of that living water that they were always like celebrating year after year, thinking it was still going to come. We are actually living in it. But let's live like we're living in it. We actually have living water flowing from us. And I just felt there's somebody who's going to, she's going to kind of connect the dots. Maybe it's just for one person. But there's this poem by A.S. Wilson, which says, indwelt. Not merely in the words you say, not only in your deeds confessed, but in the most unconscious way is Christ expressed. For me, it was not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me still dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead. I'm going to finish with that. Father, we just want to thank you, God. Lord, for your love, God, that is in us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us with might in our inner being, Lord. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That we, being rooted and established in love, may comprehend together with all the saints how deep and wide and high and long is the love of God. And that we may be full to the fullness of God. Father, thank you that this is your will and your desire for us, God. And Father, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who you're like, what is this living water? Like, I've really never tasted this. I've really never experienced this absolute life just flowing through me. Like, if you're here this morning, we want to pray for you. If you need to come back to God, or if you've never given your life to him, we want to invite you to come forward. We want to pray for you. We'll be here at the front. And then I'm going to give an opportunity for those who haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, I've brought this living water. But he said, and it was only after the Holy Spirit was poured out that people experienced that living water. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he wants to fill you and it's a flowing that never ends. Then we want to pray for you as well. So we want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that life can flow from you. And I want the rest of you, all of you, to walk into work tomorrow and go, God, thank you that your life flows through me. Thank you that your presence is inside of me, and where I go, your presence go. And where I walk and what I say, your life is flowing there. Okay, I want you to wake up tomorrow morning, when you go home, when you walk into your home with your kids and with your husband, and just go like, God, thank you that your life is flowing through me, Lord. Thank you that your fullness of your presence is inside of me. Amen. Cool. So those who need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Just come forward now, and the rest of you can go and have some coffee at the back. Awesome. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.